Hi, I'm your host, Anthony Giorgio, and you're listening to another episode of QT, Queer Teen Podcast, showcasing and encouraging the next generation of queer youth from across the world to stand up for what's right.
I'm super excited because I am talking with Gabrielle. Hey, and Gabrielle is, I'm going to let Gabrielle give herself an introduction as to what she does because it's pretty awesome and I'm super excited to hear all about it and I want, I'm going to let her go. So go for it, Gabrielle.
Yeah. Hi, everyone. My name's Gabrielle. I'm the founder of an organization called This Queer Kitchen, which facilitates genuine connections in the queer community with food at the forefront. And so what we do is we basically hold events and coordinate events that have to do with bringing the queer community together. Some previous examples of things that we've done before are drag queen cookie decorating classes, fundraising happy hours with proceeds to the Trevor Project and the Trans Law Center, a variety of pride parties, which one we just had at the Museum of Food and Drink. So we're not constrained to a specific format of event. So
I love that. Drag queen cookies.
Yes.
Drag. That's very cool. What inspired you to do this? Like, how did you even, you can tell everybody, but I kind of have a little background on like your culinary experience, but what inspired you to specifically do it with the queer community?
Yeah. So, my background is in food science, so I have a BS from the Penn State University, and I've always really been involved with food. There I was like the vice president and president of a whole bunch of LGBTQAI plus organizations, so I've always been a queer activist. I identify as a queer woman, and after that, I decided I wanted to get my master's at NYU in food studies because I really wanted to bridge the gap between food science and food studies, and from there, I took a class called Food Media with Keith Olson, and I was prepositioned with the task of creating a website. And so what I did was create this organization called This Queer Kitchen. Originally, I just went around New York City and spoke with those in the food space who are queer activists and or anywhere in the intersection, again, of queer and food. And I had a whole bunch of interviews. I created an Instagram account, and then I started getting a little bit of a following. And I decided I really wanted to make an impact in the New York City community. So what I did was think about when I first moved here a little over 2.5 years ago, what I really wanted. And I started talking to other people in the community of my friends. And there's a little bit of queer food events, but I really wanted this to be focused on creating connections and like everyone was comfortable. And I wanted it to be inclusive and diverse and just really be able to like foster and facilitate these type of networking opportunities, skill building opportunities, just things that I think will better everyone in the long run.
I love that. Where are you originally from?
Philadelphia, outside of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
Oh, cool. What is your story? What's a little bit about your story besides the food? What's your story? Like your actual, like where was growing up cool, supportive family and all that stuff?
Yeah, so basically, I turned out to be one of the lucky ones. I have the most supportive parents in the entire world. I always grew up knowing that I don't want to say quote unquote different because everyone says that, but I actually thought it was very natural to like have an interest at the time. I would say around fifth grade, I realized I was really interested in women and I wasn't really sure if I was interested in men. But as I grew older, I came to quickly realize that it was mostly women and those in the queer community who I was attracted to. I never really had a coming out to my parents. I just started dating women, and then eventually they found out that I had girlfriends, and that was really it. They were super cool with it, super supportive. The previous women that I would always date, though, were super religious, and their parents always seemed to have a problem with it, which now it sounds crazy, but I look back, and I'm thankful for those experiences because it taught me how to, like, communicate with different communities, and now both of my previous girlfriends, parents are still, like, learning and trying to deal with and, like, understanding the queer community. So I think I would like to say I was a little bit of a help in understanding like the coming out experience and educating those who are not very, in tune with the queer community. So I take pride in that because I feel like it's good to talk to people who have opposing views as you and or different opinions because it educates both parties. So
exactly.
And I think eventually that helps bringing human ground together because at the end of the day, we're all people. So, yeah.
I love that. Yeah, I'm the same way. Like, I don't have a story or anything. I came out and then I just kind of started dating boys and my mom was like, okay. And then
I
was lucky though. You know, I'm lucky and I have a cool family and I also have people in my family that are gay. So like they paved the way for myself. So it was never they did it. And
that's a really good point.
So, yeah.
Because my cousin was part of the queer community. And like, so again, when I say I grew up thinking it was natural, like she was always dating women too. So like, I didn't even realize it was something to be like, roll your eyes about. I never even like thought about it that way. I thought it was just, you grow up and you're attracted to whoever you're attracted to. And that was it. And I personally still believe that. Like, I feel that like being who you are and your most authentic self is the best possible thing you can do. And I know some people do not have that luxury of doing that. So part of this Queer Kitchen's goals are and mission is to like foster the types of community where people feel that no matter who you are, no matter where you come from, no matter who you date or love or anything like that, that they're comfortable in this type of inclusive space.
That's cool. What when you are in the city doing all of your events, does it tend to just be queer people or is it all types of people that are interested in a type of event? Like you said, for instance, I love drag queens.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go with that one.
Yeah.
Like drag queens.
Yeah.
And if people love drag queens, they're certainly going to love creating food around drag queens too. I mean, I don't know if you invite a drag queen to the event or what, how you do that, but.
So originally like my main focus is on creating safe and inclusive spaces for the queer community, but also allies are a huge part of that. So I want to make sure that like there's a foundation because like I feel like you need to be an ally to multiple communities, and I use ally as a verb. So like I'm an ally to the QTPOT community, and my parents are allies to me, and I want to make sure that people from all different cultural backgrounds, ethnicities, race, religion, whatever, feel comfortable coming to these types of organizations, knowing that in their mind and my mind that this event is specifically creation of a queer space so people feel included. Because previously and historically there are no specific queer places for people to go. There are still times where I go to restaurants and bars where I don't feel comfortable because it is mostly cis, het, white people, and I feel like if I were to tell them who I really was, that it could possibly start an argument or something like that, and that just makes me feel uncomfortable that I can't be my most authentic self. I try to surround myself with people who I want to be like and who I inspire to be. And so with that being said, I try and surround myself with leaders and women and strong individuals who are helping me pave the way for this business. So,
yeah, it is crazy, and people don't think that. They're like, I know it's because if you don't have to think about it, like going to a restaurant or going to a place like with my husband, like I live in a community where like it's totally fine. Like it's a very mixed community of all types of people, all types of colors. So that's cool, but like I do go to places that are not that, that's not the case, and you're like, would I hold my husband's hand or would I give him a kiss? I mean, we do those things and knock on wood.
We shouldn't have to second guess it.
I know. And it's 2019. We definitely shouldn't have to guess it. But there's because the way it filters through our society and like what people have been told that, you know, the normal life or whatever that means doesn't mean anything. So I think it's so cool that you do it through food because I love food. Everyone loves food. But I really love food.
I was going to say, I think food is like such a good vector or medium to use because it's intrinsic to culture as well as it's intrinsic to queer life. So I feel like by being able to foster these connections, it takes pressure through food. It takes pressure off of having to like think about what to say to people, because if you're cooking a meal or you're discussing or doing an activity over food, you're bonding, and there's not really this kind of like stigma about, oh, what am I going to say next, or if I'm trying to get a job, or if I'm trying to network, I'm trying to build some skills. It's like we're all doing this together. So it's very like a community building aspect.
Where do you live?
Brooklyn.
Oh, you live in Brooklyn. Cool.
Yeah.
And that's a great place because Brooklyn became the next thing. So everyone, you know, is loving Brooklyn and living their best life in Brooklyn now. So what's been your coolest, like, event or, like, experience with the food and the queer community that you can think of off the top of your head?
Let me think about that. That's a really good question. Answer that, I do just want to touch on one thing because I think it's really important going back to living
sure.
in Brooklyn and sort of this bubble. And so, like, living in New York City and being in Brooklyn, I'm so fortunate and I'm so lucky that I'm in this type of community where it is inclusive most of the time and it is diverse and it does, in general, foster this community sense. But as soon as I go back home or I leave this bubble of New York City or Brooklyn, I immediately, like, have to think about what I say, what I do, how I act. If I talk about my business being this queer kitchen, there are still times like when I go home and I talk to people about my business and they're like, how dare you call yourself queer? How dare you pick a business name called This Queer Kitchen? Doesn't that bother you when people call you queer and like these things?
Huh.
And so it's very, very interesting to think that I'm fortunate enough to live in an area where these things are not stigmatized anymore, but as soon as I leave this area, it's completely a different story. And so that's why it's so important to me to like be very visible, be very proud of who I am and proud of this business, even when those who don't live in New York City or Brooklyn like are able to see this online, which is why I feel like it's so strong for me to have this online presence to like let people know in other countries and cities and things like that, that these
yeah.
things do exist, that you should be proud of who you are. And I know it's not always possible, but I want to be able to be a resource and an inspiration to other communities that this can be a thing and you should be proud.
Yeah, no, I think it's awesome. Like that's why I think that's the best thing about social media and the best thing about the internet and the best way to get, you know, people talking, and especially because This Queer Kitchen, right? That title is such a powerful, I think the word queer is fantastic. Obviously, that's the name of my Queer Teen podcast. I think it's a beautiful
yeah.
word. Like, I just, and it is interesting. Like, I often wonder, I haven't even really thought about it till you started talking about it. Like, going
mm-hmm.
outside of the bubble. Now, I'm all about going outside the bubble. I think we need to step way far left more than we realize we're not, you know, that we're actually not doing that. Because I understand as a white man, and if I am a white man first, that's what people are going to see, and then I happen to be gay. But that is the privilege inside of the world that we've created, right? So I have to I'm always curious, and I like to test the boundaries anyways. I'm always curious when I start talking about my podcast and like, how people are going to react to the word queer, and, like, what is the actual conversation that they really want to have with me, or they just want to tell me I've had a couple of trolls online, so, you know.
Yeah.
So it's like,
absolutely.
That's just part of it. I mean, no matter what, you're going to have to deal with that being someone as a queer person, just because that's, people are just who they are at that moment.
Right.
So, but on a lighter note, what's been one of your coolest experiences with bringing This Queer Kitchen to everybody?
Honestly, again, it's such a hard question because I've done so many cool things this Pride Month. I never expected to be able to have the capacity and the wonderful team. I can't thank them enough for helping me to have 8 events. I originally just wanted to do one
nice.
Or 2 a month, and I had 8 Pride
yeah.
events. And so I'll just give you a brief of some of my favorites. So one of them that we did was called Sex Positive, Food Positive, and Body Positive. And this was at the Fluid Project, which is America's
yeah.
genderless store. And what we
did
was we brought... Yeah, it was so fabulous. We brought in a dom or a dominatrix, and what they did was we used over-ripened fruit and vegetables and eggs, and we wrote things like homophobia, transphobia, racism, and we smashed them all to, like, break down the patriarchy, as well as we had a cake, and we sat, everyone, like, did, like, a cake-sitting kind of exercise. So that was, like, super cool, just, like, being able to
have
that kind of space. Yeah, it was really, really awesome.
I love that. That's, like, sounds so sexy and powerful all at the same time.
Yeah, it was, it felt so powerful. Like, people don't, like, realize, like, being able to, like, just show, like, again, it goes back to authenticity and just, like, having fun and being true to who you are. And, like, that's what this, like, sex positive, food positive, body positive thing kind of, like, embraces. And so it was very freeing.
I think that's so cool. Like, that is cool. I haven't been to that store yet. I'm sure it's a pretty cool store. Because I like
wonderful.
That's my kind. I think that's kind of my next thing is, like, I'm certainly slowly transitioning to the style of clothing or whatever I wear that I've really throughout the years have just, like, kind of don't care. And I just put on clothes and I just go about my day. And if I feel like dressing in a woman's shirt, I dress in a woman's shirt. Or if I feel like dressing in a shirt that maybe a woman, maybe a guy, maybe someone else, I dress in that. Like, I don't know. I kind of always been that way, but I'm trying to take ownership of it now and being like, no, this I like to just put some heels on sometimes, or I like to not worry about it. I can wear whatever I want, you know? And, and so that's so cool. I think that's so cool. I love that event. That sounds so neat. I wanted to go to, go to that event.
Another
I have to get
event
you down
that...
here to Asbury Park.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I would love to go to the beach. We could do a beach event.
That's what I'm saying. There's a huge queer, you know, there's a huge queer community in Asbury. It's gay and people of color. That's like the main pull, and that's what the main people are in Asbury Park. So
that sounds amazing.
Yeah.
We'll definitely have to touch base after.
Yeah. Love that.
Another really cool event that I did that I realized, like, I'm so fortunate to have this opportunity was at Gavin Brown's Enterprise, which is a art gallery up in Harlem. And because I live in Brooklyn, I don't really get to be up there as much. And so what we did was we provided a full, like, menu and queer cookout for the LGBT Harlem community free of charge so they could just come and get food. And it was just such a wonderful experience to have because, we don't really get to get up there. And that community is just so blossoming. Everyone is so friendly. They're so powerful. You can tell that there's, like, connection with each and every one of them, and it was just such a great experience to be able to, like, meet all different kinds of people from different backgrounds and just really engage with them and have them understand what this queer kitchen is and how we can benefit them in the future and things like that. So, like, that was just such a powerful day for us because I'm just so honored. I think over 250 people showed up, and I was just I was able to, like, meet, like, a wide variety, so it was just really wonderful.
And the nutritional factor is key, too, you know? Like, that's what aside from the queer part of it, like you realize, like, we don't actually teach people enough and actually give people good food, like, in a nutritional way and fun and delicious way. Like, you know, there's a whole thing with schools that goes on now with lunch, school lunches, and, like, if they don't have enough money, they only get this, and it's just, like, a piece of nothing on the, you know, it's, like, crap. So, it's just, I just love it. I think that's so cool. That's just so cool.
Just,
so,
like,
you have
really
a team,
like,
of people, or is it just, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah. I just, like, really want to nourish people's, not only their minds, but also their bodies. Like, I feel like nourishment is so important and we take it for granted. So, like,
that's
definitely something that I, like, am very aware of and will try and continue to always, whenever I can donate my time to helping, the queer community and or feeding the queer community, that's, like, where I will spend most of my energy.
I hear ya.
Sorry, but yes, I do have a team that I work with. They're so wonderful. My business partner, Jessie, she's from Taiwan. She goes to the new school right now for her food study, her food studies degree. She's also our head chef. She's completely amazing. I also have a few other people that work on my team that are, like, volunteers. And I couldn't do it without them. And I constantly have people wanting to get involved, which is the most wonderful thing, to, like, have people want to be included in what you're doing. It just, it brings me to tears almost thinking about it.
I love it. Do you cook, or do you just do the food science of it and the, like, the way it's all created, like, how it's created?
Yeah, so I'm a home chef and home baker, and I always,
nice.
When we cater or whenever we cook for events, I'm always, like, right there in the kitchen helping planning the menu, doing everything. I'm just not classically trained. But I'm constantly
baking.
Yeah.
I the funny thing when people are like classes, yeah, you do need to be trained on certain things, but at the end of the day, like a lot of really good food comes from a lot of heart and like time and soul in the
Yeah.
kitchen. So it's like that's where it's gonna taste. When people are like, "This is the best thing I've ever had," I go, "That's because that person is so dedicated to what they're doing." It's like
Yeah, I actually
amazing.
like I attribute most of my cooking and my skills and my baking to my grandmother and my mother. They like I was raised completely in the kitchen. Like my earliest pictures are me with like a spatula in the kitchen. And
I
like
love it.
I'm so fortunate that experience. I'm very spoiled with that kind of thing because my mother always made home meals like every single day. She was like a single mom at one point. She was working her ass off and she just like always came home and made us food, like homemade baby food, like everything. I'm just so fortunate. And like I watched her put her heart and her soul into feeding our family, and that is why like I want to put my heart and soul into like giving back to the community and feeding them and nourishing them. So
How long have you been doing this work? How long have you been doing it?
I started it as a again, I started it as a food blog in April 2018, and then we incorporated this year in April 2019. So I've only been doing events since
Wow.
April.
Oh,
Yeah.
cool. Well, that's very
Yeah.
fairly new. So that's exciting. So there's
Yeah.
lots more to be had, of course, and getting yourself out there. But you seem to be doing, I mean, it's great. The reason why I found you, it was from the magazine, and a friend of mine told me you did a, it was a top 22 people that are on Instagram or social media to follow this summer, but in the queer community specifically. And I
Yes,
was
I'm
like,
so happy to hear that.
yeah, that's hilarious. And then that's how I reached out. I was like, well, I'll just reach out to those people and see if they want to be on my bonus episodes this summer because my second season 2 doesn't release till the fall. So I was like, let me get a different bunch of people in the queer
Yeah.
community. Doesn't have to be teenagers because the teenagers do listen, people do listen, but everybody's got to learn from everybody no matter what. So
Absolutely.
I think what you're doing is so cool, and I think it's a really awesome and unique way to bring the community together, but not only just the regular, but the community, queer community together, and to, give people the experience that most people love, and that's food. Because it's like food and dance and song brings so many people together. It's such a universal language for people.
Yeah.
It's where everything starts, you know what I mean? Like, that's where everyone really kind of connects. Then they do connect. So, this is the best part. Tell everybody where we can find you everywhere online and what's coming up
Yes,
for you next.
so you can find us at thisqueerkitchen.com, thisqueerkitchen on Instagram, and thisqueerkitchen on Facebook. And I do answer every single DM through Instagram personally because I feel like it's really important to me to know who my followers are, and I answer every comment. So like feel free to slide into my DMs. I will do my best ability to answer you in a timely manner. Some of my things that are coming up next are we're doing a bi-monthly, so once every 2 months, Queer Women in Food Storytelling event, which is a potluck, and queer women with an X or anybody who identifies as a woman to come and tell their story through food, however that might be, through businesses or through their personal connection or anything like that. We're working on doing a few summer activities, like a queer barbecue. We have a queer cookbook club coming up, and there's a variety of more events that I can't wait for the rest of the summer and the rest of the year. And so I hope to see some of you there.
Awesome. Thank you so much. This is great. Follow everybody and do your part.
And I'm your host, Anthony Giorgio, and thank you for listening to another episode of QT, Queer Teen Podcast, showcasing and encouraging the next generation of queer youth from across the world to stand up for what's right. And remember, listen, learn, love.